this evening, again, continuing with our theme of striving together. Again, our little bit of background. The study we've been doing on Sunday nights, again, is about striving together and what teamwork looks like in the local church. We're actually on lesson number 10 this evening, and I need some helpers to pass these out. Also pens is there. So we're on lesson number 10 this evening, which is an interesting one. Striving toward maturity. Again, considering that in the context of our study of striving together as a church, but of striving toward maturity. Again, the text verses and the key verses for this evening are actually out of Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I think everybody's about got their hand out at this point. But I'll go ahead and read those. They're on your sheet there as well. But Ephesians chapter 4, and starting in verse 11, says, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this evening, just the opportunity that we have to be able to be in your house, and then again, being able to go through this lesson this evening. I ask you just to help me to be able to facilitate it, and then as your word is opened and taught, that we'd all just be able to focus on this and kind of put away distractions and just see what you have for us this evening. Again, talking about, of course, as a church, but then also personally, of striving toward maturity, spiritually speaking. And I'm going to ask that you'd meet with us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, as the lesson title intimates here, we must work together, assisting one another to become like Christ as we strive toward maturity. Because in reality, spiritual growth and forward progress, they're not optional. They're required. And we're responsible to really, in a church context, of one another for our success in these areas. So some goals with the lesson this evening. Number one, to help us to be able to discern the difference between mature and immature Christian behavior in our lives. Number two, that we would endeavor to be conformed to the image of Christ. And then three, that we would know areas in our life where we need to become more mature spiritually. So jumping in right into the lesson here, spiritual growth is a team sport, not a solo act. Through these lessons, as we've been looking at this study, we've been discussing how we can strive together like those that we read about in the pages of the New Testament, the book of Acts, and the rest of the New Testament. So what we're going to see today, that one of the areas of the Christian life that we're called to strive together in is our individual maturity as believers. And here in Ephesians chapter 4, we discover not only that God wants us to grow towards maturity, but he also intends to use us in each other's lives in that journey of growth. You can discern the difference pretty quickly between a little child and a grown man. In most cases, you can measure their height, put them on a scale, listen to them speak, test their physical strength, and you immediately know which of the two you're dealing with, a boy or a man. There's some similar principles that apply in the Christian life, in the area of Christian maturity. There's differences between mature Christians and those that possess an underdeveloped or even stunted level of growth, and it shows. So as we study the heart of Ephesians 4, let's identify three principles for moving toward maturity. And the first one, point number one, we have the, starts with an M, toward maturity. Starts with an M. Not the move. And sometimes we need a little shove in a direction, right? There you go. The motivators toward maturity. The motivators toward maturity. As Paul lays out the case for the Ephesians' spiritual development, he outlines three very special resources they have each been given, that we have also been given, which should contribute to our spiritual growth. And these resources would motivate them and us toward maturity. So the first one, subpoint A, says we have been given spiritual, starts with a G. This is an interesting one here. Not gifts. That might be point two. It's grace, yes. We have been given spiritual grace. And the first verse there is Ephesians 4, verse 7.
But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ.
Now, last week, we saw that the spiritual exercise of giving, that whole concept of generous living, along with other disciplines in the Christian life, is considered great, a grace. If you look in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 7.
Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also.
Now, we learned that Christian grace involves God's work within us after we receive his initial grace of salvation. Now, Peter described the grace of God as being an integral part of our ongoing growth. 2 Peter 3, verse 18.
But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever.
Amen. Grow in grace. There's that concept there. So not only have we been given spiritual grace, secondly, we've also been given spiritual, starts with a G as well. Gifts, yes. We've been given spiritual gifts. It says various spiritual gifts are explained, of course, in Romans chapter 12 and then 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But in Ephesians 4 here, Paul speaks of spiritual leaders, specifically pastors and teachers, as gifts from God, given for our growth. If you go back and you see that in our passage in verse 11, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers there. Now, Paul explained the investment of one spiritual leader, says a friend of his, Epaphras, you've heard that name before, in the lives of the believers in Colossae. Now, notice that one of Epaphras' goals was that the member of the Colossian church would stand perfect or mature. Colossians 4, 12 to 13.
Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he had a great zeal for you,
that place. So not only have we been given spiritual grace and we've been given spiritual gifts, we've also been given a spiritual
goal.
That is correct. We've been given a spiritual goal. You can see that in verse 12 of our text. It says, as the saints are perfected, made mature, the results, according to verse 12, are that the work of the ministry is accomplished, and that the body of Christ is edified or built up. God has a job for this church, for our church, which is, of course, to fulfill his purposes and carry out the Great Commission, winning people to Christ and then discipling them in the faith. But the fulfillment of these goals hinges on the maturing of the saints there. 1 Peter 4:10.
Every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold of grace of God.
There's that grace of God concept again there. So point number two, not only have the motivators toward maturity, but we also have the, also starts with an M, of maturity. What was that?
Measure.
That is correct. The measure of maturity. If we want to measure our progress, what yardstick should we use? Because again, if you're trying to measure progress, you have to have it compared to something, right? You have to have a standard somewhere. So for us in our Christian maturity, what yardstick do we use? Another Christian? Guy down the street? Of course not. The problem with comparing ourselves with those around us is that we either find someone doing far better than us, which defeats us, or we find someone doing far worse than us, which lifts us up in pride. Instead, verse 13 actually provides two criteria for measuring spiritual maturity. But before we get to there, 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12.
For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise.
And that idea of our standard isn't each other. But as we're going to go here for the two subpoints here, in Ephesians, verse 13 provides two criteria for measuring. The first one is there should be, starts with a U, with the, starts with an S. Unity with the saints. Everybody is on top of it tonight. There should be unity with the saints. Again, they're talking about the measure of maturity here. Now, verse 13 begins with this goal. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith. Now, God wants us to function with unity. Carnal, immature Christians tend to create friction through complaints, gossip, bitterness, being difficult to get along with. But spiritual, growing Christians are able to infuse the grace of God into their relationships of their lives, which creates unity. Philippians 1, verse 27.
Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel.
And there's the our whole lesson series, Striving Together, where that verse comes right there. But that you see that idea there, that you stand fast in one spirit, striving together. So not only should there be unity with the saints, but then second, there should be, starts with a C to the S, or to the S. Very close. There should be conformity to the Savior. There should be conformity to the Savior. Now, verse 13 continues, read it here, it says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The measuring tool for spiritual maturity is the person and character of Jesus Christ. Of course, we will never measure up to that completely, or can we here, until we get to heaven and receive it. Perfect nature there, but we can become more like him every day, which is the point. See what it is, what it says there. At the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Romans 8:29.
Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, verse 1.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
So what mold are you being pressed into? Is the culture of this world pressing you into its mold through media, entertainment, worldly influences, you name it? Or are you allowing the Word of God, the Spirit of God, the circumstances of your life, and even other Christians to help conform you into the likeness of Christ? Because it's either one or the other on that. So then number three, not only do we have the motivators of maturity, and then we have the measure of maturity, but then number three, we also have the, starts with an M as well, of maturity, the marks of maturity. If we're becoming more like Christ, what characteristics will and won't be present in our lives? And Paul answers this question in the final three verses of today's study. The first one, there are three telling marks of, starts with an I, immaturity. He talks about three stable marks of immaturity here. In verse 14, Paul described what God's will wasn't for the Ephesian converts. Again, these actually are listed in your notes there. But first one, unstable in devotion. You see in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. Immature Christians are easily blown off course, sidetracked from growth, and tripped up in our forward progress. Now, that's not God's will for our lives. And it's dangerous for one who's not striving together toward maturity. Because James warns us in James 1, verse 8,
a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Not only is it unstable in devotion, but then second, unsure of doctrine. Now, there's a reason the Great Commission includes the final instruction of teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. The stability that's in there. The Lord Jesus knew that new converts must become grounded in the teachings of the Word of God to inoculate them from the false teachers who'd be in the wings waiting. You know, Paul even talked about to the, I think it was the Ephesian pastors there when he was leaving, before he went to Jerusalem for the last time, says there are going to be wolves come from even among you to deceive the flock there. So unstable in devotion, unsure of doctrine, and then third, unable to discern. This is an interesting one. God wants his children to be able to discern between a truth and a lie, between right and wrong, and between his way of thinking and this world's way of thinking. But the one who doesn't grow is unable to discern both good and evil. Because, you know, God loaded his word with principles that can be used, that can apply across any culture, across any country, any time. But it takes spiritual growth and maturity to be able to apply those in our lives, in our situation. Hebrews 5, verse 14.
But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil.
Again, that idea of being able to discern. Because things are not always cut and dry. You know, God has a lot of commands in his word, but he doesn't have a command for every single possible instance in life, but he has principles that can be applied. But it takes spiritual maturity and discernment to be able to use those and discern them in the situations in our lives. Now, instead of being unstable in disposition, unsure in doctrine, and unable to discern, God's plan is that we would drive deep roots into our relationship with God, with Christ and his word. Colossians 2, 6 through 8.
As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving.
Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
When Billy Sunday was converted and joined a church, a Christian man put his arm around the young man's shoulder and said, William, there's three simple rules I can give to you, and if you will hold to them, you'll never write backslider after your name. Interesting. It says, take 15 minutes each day to listen to God talking to you. Take 15 minutes each day to talk to God. and take 15 minutes each day to talk to others about God. Spilly Sunday was deeply impressed and determined to make these the rules of his life. From that day on, throughout his life, he made it a rule to spend the first moments of his day alone with God and his word. Before he read a letter, looked at a paper, or even read a telegram, he went first to the Bible so that the first impression of the day he got might be what he got directly from God. Not a bad practice in that regard. So then second, not only are there three telling marks of immaturity, but there's three triumphant marks of maturity. Yes. Three triumphant marks of maturity. In verses 15 and 16, Paul explained what maturity would look like in the Ephesians' lives and in ours as well. First, again, there are your notes already there, but first one is communication that's meaningful. Mature Christians are unafraid to speak the truth, whether to a blatant faith denier or to even to a friend who's straying. But when they speak in love. Their speech follows Paul's instructions in Colossians 4, verse 6.
Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man.
And back in Ephesians, you see that the whole, but speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things. Second, not only is there communication that's meaningful, but there's also, two, a Christ-centered mindset. Verse 15 speaks of Christ as affecting all things, which is the head. You see that in verse 16, or actually back in verse 15, all things, which is the head, even Christ. Mature Christians place Jesus Christ at the center of their lives so that everything else revolves around him. He's not just at the top of the list. He's at the center of their life. Like the hub of a wheel, you know, where the spokes of life connect and then extend, Jesus Christ touches and changes every area of their life. It's kind of similar to this morning and that idea of bewaring of the leaven in our life, that idea of not compartmentalizing our lives, having our God box and our box, but he has everything in that. Colossians 1:18.
And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence.
Says that in all things he might have the preeminence. First place in our lives in everything. Then third, not only is there communication that's meaningful, a Christ-centered mindset, but then there's also a contribution to the members. Verse 16 teaches us that we're connected. As a church, we're connected, just like a human body, and that we're interdependent with one another. See that in verse 16. It says, "For whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now, 1 Corinthians 12 teaches a similar thing. It says, we are each to contribute to the health and growth of the other parts of our church, of the body that we're a part of. 1 Corinthians 12, 21 to 22.
And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you.
Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary.
So kind of summarizing some things here. You can see five principles for the body, for a church, from Ephesians 4:16. First, you can see the principle of addition. You see that the whole body fitly joined together. You see the principle of variation, you know, that which every joint supplieth. You see the principle of contribution, working in the measure of every part, contributing to one another. You see the principle of expansion, increase of the body. And then also fifth, you see the principle of devotion edifying of itself in love. Again, kind of interesting thoughts are the principle of addition, variation, contribution, expansion, and devotion. So in conclusion, are you growing spiritually? What's standing between you and the maturity that God called you to and that Christ has modeled for you? Why not determine today to lay aside every immature characteristic that remains in your life and cultivate the character of Christ? That's really easy to say, and that's a lot harder to do, isn't it? And then what are you doing to help others grow spiritually? Again, the whole point and concept of this study is striving together. We're to strive together in helping our brothers and our sisters move toward maturity in our church. So who can you encourage this week? Who can you help along the way of spiritual development? Now, together, we can be the mature, grounded, difference-making Christians that he's called us to. But again, it's interesting, it's together in that regard. So it was a shorter lesson this evening, but I would say it's challenging, but it's also encouraging at the same time, because God's given us the tools and the example to do it in that. So let's look at some questions here to finish everything off tonight. It says, according to Ephesians 4:11, what gift did God give to the Philippian believers to help in their spiritual maturity? The gift of spiritual leaders, specifically then for us, pastors and teachers there. So number two, what spiritual goals are accomplished through the body of Christ as a result of the influence of its spiritual leaders? You can see it in verse 12. It says, the work of the ministry is accomplished and the body of Christ is edified or built up. Number three, in what two ways can we measure our maturity? Yep. The two points that were given is our maturity can be measured by our unity with other believers, and then two, by our conformity to the image of Christ. And that's a lot harder one. Number four, what's one sign, again, there was three of them listed, of spiritual immaturity? Unstable devotion. Unsure doctrine. Unable to discern. Done that. Number five, what's one indicator, and there were three of them given there, of spiritual maturity? Meaningful communication. Christ-centered mindset in our lives. Then contributing. That's kind of an interesting one. Because there's in all of these concepts, there's the idea of output. Our input inside produces output out to others. Number six is, according to Ephesians 4:15... how should we speak? Speaking the truth in love. Question seven, this is a answers will vary for sure question. How would you describe your level of devotion to Christ in this church? There's your loaded question right there. And what areas need improvement? That's definitely something we all can think about and answer for ourselves. The number eight says, what is one thing that you can do to edify other members of Christ's body this week? What's something that you can do for someone else in our church this week with the purpose of growing, maturing there? And the verses to finish everything off is Colossians 2:6-7. They've already been read, but I'll read them again here. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as ye've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So any thoughts? Any thoughts from anybody? Anything that stood out to you maybe in the lesson tonight? I know one thing for me, it's kind of, again, interesting thinking about it, but you know, obviously there's plenty of things we work on internally in our lives, but it's always for the purpose of output. You think of that, again, that concept of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea has continual input, but zero output. And henceforth, it's dead. Than that. Anything from anybody else? Any other thoughts? Something maybe stood out to you?
Something, if you would to ask my wife, she has a testimony. Thought she was saved at the time, but she wasn't. But I was, and I began to grow. And she would tell you that when I was growing, that was convicting to her. That's kind of what brought her along. I think a lot of what you do for other people is not so much of what you actively try to do to people, but as just you grow, it affects others in the right way. Like sometimes we want to push our ways into it, but you wouldn't believe how much you affect people by just you growing with God. People notice, and then people follow, and that's a good way of growing.
Yeah. Any other thoughts, Andy?
I like that practical example with Billy Sunday, 15, 15, 15. I mean, that's a place to start.
Yeah. But obviously the numbers aren't what's the important thing there, it's the principle.
Yeah. But without the 15 minutes hearing from God, 15 minutes talking to God, 15 minutes of talking to others isn't going to be effective.
Anything else? Any thoughts? But again, it's also interesting in the concept of we're not Lone Rangers. No, it's the purpose of God and His church is we do it together. Again, like what Pastor was mentioning, is kind of spurring each other on by an encouragement. And as we grow, it encourages others to do the same and to grow in that regard. But
yeah, just the last point, like I feel like last week at BBS was a good example of the whole church contributing, because without every piece, everyone contributing, it wouldn't have worked.
Yep. Okay, let's go ahead and close this evening. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we had just to be able to be in your house tonight and to open your word and see some truths from it tonight, from Ephesians chapter 4, of striving towards maturity in our lives. And again, we see some marks of immaturity, and then we also see marks of what maturity spiritually looks like. And again, I will be the first to admit I am definitely not where I need to be, and I pray that you would just help us to grow, that we wouldn't stay where we're at or go backwards, because you've commanded us to grow in grace, and you've given us the tools. And then you've modeled it for us by your Son. And I pray that we would all be endeavoring to grow, to draw closer to you, to get more grounded, more rooted, driving those deep roots into our relationship with you, again, so that we can withstand the storms of this life. And I pray that, again, as we do that as a church, as we do that each other, that it would edify our church and help us to grow mature as a church concept there, that we would be growing into the stature of the fullness of Christ, to be able to be what you've called us to be and what you want us to be as a church. And I pray that you'd bring us back together again on Wednesday and bring keep us home, keep us safe as we go to our homes this evening. In Jesus' name, amen.